Hosea chapter 4. And one of the things that he begins here in chapter 4 with is, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Notice that here God begins once again in charging them to pay attention, to open their ears to hear the word of the Lord. Now you can actually take the picture of what's taken place today to the United States of America. As God is speaking to America, America is not listening to God. This was the problem with the people of God. Even though they had ears on their heads, they were not listening to what God was saying. And it's really a tragedy when people have ears to hear, but they're not listening to what God says to them. This was not just anybody speaking. This is the word of the Lord to the children of Israel, direct instruction to the people of God. God is speaking directly to their hearts and saying, pay attention. This is what's happening. This is what's going on. At the same time that Hosea was prophesying, the prophet Amos was prophesying, and also Ezekiel the prophet. And I told you this morning that Ezekiel finds himself already in captivity in Babylon, as God already has judged the people of God. No hope. They're finding themselves in judgment. 70 years, men, they're going to be in Babylon. And God is telling them through the prophet, not only Jeremiah and Ezekiel, he says, relax, don't get your bags ready. You're going to be here a long time. Build houses and go about your business, because you're going to be here for 70 years. And the people didn't want to believe it. Why? Because they were false prophets speaking to them and saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace, saith the Lord God to the wicked. There's no possible way that any wicked person can experience the peace of God. Nobody in this world. You're only kidding yourself if you think you have peace and yet you're wicked. You're deceiving yourself. You're looking into the mirror, forgetting what you look like, James says. And it's important that as we hear seven times in the book of Revelations, as he's writing to the seven churches, seven different types of people there, he's saying to them, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He wants them to listen, to pay attention. And why? Because as we hear, the same word to hear in the Hebrew is the word for obedience. Obey. Do what I tell you to do. That's important. Is God wants us to be obedient to His Word. One of the causes that I see among the church today is the lack of obedience among people. The lack of obedience and disobedience in their lives. You know, they come to counseling and you talk to them and you share with them the Word of God. But you know what? It seems that as you share the Word of God with them and you speak to them the Word of God, they go out like if they haven't listened yet. They don't want to do what God says, because when God tells you to do something and you don't want to do it, it's a hard thing to obey God. It's not easy. Obedience doesn't come about easy. It's very hard. Because my nature, my sinful nature, wants to please self. You see? I want to please myself. I don't want to please God. But then again, when God speaks to you, and you know that He's speaking to you and He's dealing with you as a person or individual person, then you need to take activity and be active in what God is saying to you tonight. You need to do what He says. Don't turn out to be like a Saul. Remember, Saul, even though he was a king and he was appointed, he wasn't appointed by God. He was appointed by the people. He was the people's choice, not God's choice. You want to make sure you're in the perfect will of God, and you want to make sure you are God's choice, not men's choice. And remember, Saul's problem and sin was disobedience to God. He did not want to listen. He did not want to obey. And it cost him not only his kingship, it cost him his life. Be careful of not paying attention to what God is saying to the church. And what God is saying to you individually is, God speaks to your hearts tonight. Listen to the message. The message may be 27 or 2,500 years old here in Hosea, but it's still for today. It's still active today. The same problems, the same sins that God spoke to us in the past are still here in the present today with us. You can see it. You can see it among the people. And this is what God says now in verse 1 of chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. The word charge here in Hebrew, it's actually a legal term. It's actually a legal complaint, like a subpoena. He's actually bringing and saying, hey, God is subpoenaing you. He's subpoenaing you to go to court, your day on trials today. And this is not really to judgment, but this is really to the examination of the heart. God sees the heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. Many times we can be so deceitful. We can act one way, do something else another way, and yet nobody can really know our hearts as God knows my heart. Why? Because I can cover it up. I can put the mask of the hypocrite, the actor, and I can act very well in the things that I say and the things that I do in public, but then my private life is something else. We have to be careful how we respond to God and how we react to the things that God has given to each one of us. And the charge here is against all the inhabitants of the land. God is speaking to everybody now. And look what he says in verse 1. He continues now the second half of it. He says, there is no truth and mercy or knowledge of God in the land. The problem is that the people were not being taught the word of God, or they were being taught the word of God and they were rejecting the word of God. You see? They were rejecting the knowledge. They were rejecting the light of God. And they were accepting the darkness of Satan. And this is something that I see throughout the land running rapidly today in America, in the world across. As we get closer for the Antichrist to arise, and as we get closer for the church to depart from this earth, we begin to see that things are not going to get better and better. They're going to become worse. They're going to become worse. The homosexual community becomes worse. The schools become worse with humanism. And we begin to see that in the land, and here he's going to give a description like reading the LA Times and going home tonight and turn on channel 7 or 11 or 5 or 4 or 2 and you listen to the commentators, and this is what they're saying. This is God's charge now. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed, God says. Notice the violence that was going on at this particular time. Gang warfare in Jerusalem. Gang warfare all around the cities. Gangs could not be stopped. I mean, things are getting worse. When is it going to stop? When are we going to come to the realization that violence is not the way to peace? And yes, we know that there isn't going to be any peace until Jesus Christ comes again. And the only people that really are experiencing the peace of God are those that have been born again of the Holy Spirit, those that have become the children of the light. Because I'll tell you something, without the Lord, I could not make it in this world. I already would probably shut a lot of people. Seriously. I would be intense. When people on the freeway, you know, start flipping me off and doing all kinds of gestures at me, I tell you what, I can only take enough. You know, and then you're jammed up on traffic, and sometimes I say, Lord, make them crash. They irritate me. And then God's trying to teach me a lesson too, to be patient. To be patient in everything that I do and say. And it's hard because, you know, you want to retaliate. And God says you can't. You can't retaliate because then you become just like the heathens. But that doesn't mean that we're weak. That we're just to sit around and do nothing as the homosexuals are taking the lead. And they can parade down the streets and show off everything they have and they can do whatever they want. And yet if we want to have a little rally and talk about Jesus, we can't get permits. Something is wrong in the land. It's amazing how the schools, we offer our help to the schools, they're having violence. You know, I've been in so many campuses just in the last month because of the violence and because of all the drugs and all the things. And, you know, they show my movie and then I go and I speak and stuff like this. And yet the schools are so afraid of a positive message. And yet, you know, they get these druggy concerts on and they promote evil for good. When they don't need another concert, they don't need another psychologist, they need Jesus Christ. That's what they need in their lives completely. There's no possible way that the land can stop by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. Nobody can change unless Jesus Christ changes you. And that change only comes about as people begin to submit their lives to Jesus Christ. And something that we've been starting here at Calvary Chapel has been kind of neat. While I'm teaching and preaching the Word of God, people are praying in a room. Because we want to see God work. And as you are sitting here and as you're listening to the Word of God, and before you even come here, during the week you should be praying to see who you can invite, who will come, so those people can receive the knowledge of the truth. And I think this is the only way that we can change our world, is to get more people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no other possible way. Government will not do it. Congress cannot do it. The House of Representatives cannot do it. Our mayors cannot do it. Our police departments cannot do it. They're fed up with everything. But there's only one way. People like me, people like you, or anybody else, because of the change that has been brought about in our lives, has been because of the Word of God and because of Jesus Christ, for what He did for us when He died on the cross. For He's the only one that can forgive those that swear by lying. And that's a problem in many people today. They lie and they cheat and they steal. Those that kill and those that steal, and then those that commit adultery, not only physically, but in their minds and also spiritually speaking. God is speaking to those people. And then He says also those that shed bloodshed upon bloodshed. And the reason God says that there is because what they had done is they had taken their little infant babies and they had put them in the arms of Molech, in that little burning image, man, that turned red hot. And they would put them on the hands of Molech and they would burn them and barbecue them alive, man. It's just incredible. 30 million babies in America have been killed. Imagine that. How do you think the heart of God feels when 30 million babies haven't had a chance to live because of selfish parents? People want to play, but they don't want to pay. So sad. And who suffers? Not the parents. The children suffer. And God is for the children. God is for the children as God is for the parents. Yes, and if you have committed that act of abortion, God will forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you. But don't do it again. Don't do it again. I've counseled with mothers, men, that have given away their babies and now they want their babies back through adoption. I have met with women that had abortions, men, that carry this great image in their minds and this guilt that was actually killing them. Until they finally found out that Jesus Christ, through His precious blood, was able to forgive you. Remember, He forgives you, He cleanses you, He washes you, makes you bright as new, just like brand new person. But remember one thing, even like Jesus Christ, the scars remain. The scars remain there. God washes you by His precious blood. But we actually have to bear the consequences of the scars of our sin, man. It's the most incredible thing. And so God here is speaking to the people because He can't imagine what these people are doing. And all these things that they're doing, God is saying, hey, when are you going to stop? And then look what He says in verse 3. Notice here, because of the evil this was committed, therefore He says, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea will be taken away. You can't help from a society or a nation becoming more evil every day and not expect the judgment of God to come, when the judgment of God, I believe, has already began and is moving and sweeping our land. How we need to pray for the young people, man. How we need to pray for their parents. How we need to pray for our educators. We need to pray that God, please God, send revival. Let thy Holy Spirit one more time fall upon us, God, so that we can see God move and God do His work among our lives, and that God can use my life and He can use your life and He can use anybody's life that wants to be used by God before the tremendous judgment of God falls upon this country, which is the land of the free. Where our Constitution speaks of liberty and freedom of religion. Or even some of our presidents, man, not only read the Bible, but they lived according to the Word of God. Boy, we sure have gone astray a long ways now from that. As our government has become liberal, apostate. Not wanting God in anything, but actually erasing the inscriptions of God in everything that we can in our schools. Can even pray in our classrooms or even the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, to the flag. Things have to be changed because people don't want to be offended, he or she. Imagine that. And yet people continue to change the laws because they want to become pleasers of men rather than pleasers of God. If we really wanted to be godly and have a godly government, then any person that was stealing or swearing or lying or cheating or committing adultery or killing or whatever they would do, the law said what? You put them to death. You don't put them in prisons and crowded prisons. You take care of them by the penal code. And that's the word of God, capital punishment. We don't have that today. We need to come back to the basics of the Bible. That's what God desires. But we're heading astray. We're getting away from the truth of God. So God's complaint here is tremendous to the people. And then in verse 4 he says, "Now let no man contend or rebuke another. For your people are like those who contend with the priests, and therefore you shall stumble in the day. And the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother." You see, the people were like the priests and the prophets. The leaders were corrupt. The priests and the prophets were prophesying lies, and then the priests were stealing from the people and living it up for themselves. How sad. I mean, the priest didn't care for the people. The prophet didn't care for the people. They only care for themselves. Remember last week in Ezekiel, they were feeding themselves, but not the people of God. They were what? They were fleecing God's people, and yet they fed themselves. They enriched themselves from the people. We see that all the time today. How sad when God is for the people. And the priest was supposed to teach the law of God to the people. Where the prophet was supposed to speak for God to the people, representing God. And then here is another thing that God says about the people. Here's his complaint against them, my people. Notice, I can't believe that God still calls them my people. Notice the extended hand of the love of God toward these evil people. He calls them my people, but they're not calling him their God. You see? God says they're my people. But they're not saying he is our God. There was a difference here. And here is the sin of the people. My people are destroyed because they lack of knowledge. Isn't that interesting? You go into any home today and you talk to any Christian parent and ask them if they do devotions with their children. There's a lot of times people come to the church and they're expecting the church to change their children. When the duty has been given to us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, 7, and 8. Not to the church, but to the parents. The parents are the ones to give knowledge. And that knowledge they receive from the Word of God, they are to teach it to their children. While you sit down, while you stand up, while you lie down, while you're walking by the way. You see? Instructing, teaching your children about good ethics in the Word of God. So they don't depart from the way of truth. Now, they're going to be children. They're going to be children like anybody else. They may get into trouble, whatever. But if you teach them the Word of God while they're young, let me tell you something. Even though they depart for a while, they'll always come back to the truth. Because the truth shall set you free, Jesus said. And yet, the problem with these people, as I see the problem today, even in the church, is my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Why? Because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Heavy, heavy accusation here. Heavy indictment. God says, if you don't take the time to know my word and to have my knowledge, then how in the world are you going to survive and your children survive in these times? The only reason, I'll tell you something, the only reason that our family has been able to make it through is because whenever we have a situation and a problem, we always go to the word of God. You know why? Because that's where we find our answers. And after we go to the word of God, we go to prayer. Because there are some things, man, that you can't say nothing or do anything. It's only through prayer. And I thank God for the godly grandmothers that God has given to my children and grandfathers. Grandmother that can pray for them. Grandmother that can really, you know, give them the word of God and not be afraid to tell them the truth and say, you know what, this is wrong what you're doing. Sometimes we're afraid to confront people and to tell them the truth because we think we're going to offend them. But I tell you what, I'd rather offend you in the truth and suffer, you know, the consequences now and love you now than have you totally be lost. I would rather tell you to your face what you're doing. And this is the way God is with us. He doesn't hold any punches, man. He's direct in what he says to us. He speaks to us directly to the heart because he knows my heart. He knows your hearts. And so the people had rejected the light. They had rejected the truth of God. They were in deep, deep darkness now. They didn't have any sense of light or knowledge or wisdom in God. And then verse 7, he says, the more they increase, the more they sin against me. Notice, the more they multiply, the more their sins multiply too. I will charge their glory into shame, and they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. Notice the sad indictment here. You know, if you have corrupt leaders, you're going to have corrupt people. That's been the problem in the church today. If you have leaders that are corrupt and they're living a lifestyle of sin, then you're going to have people in the church living in sin. Unless the priests and the leaders are holy and they stick to the word of God and they're repentant and they're yielding their lives to God completely and not thinking of themselves but thinking of the people, thinking of their families, then those people will be blessed. But the sad indictment that God brings about here, notice, is the leaders were sinful, living lives of sin, affecting the people of God. And think of how many leaders today in the past have fallen and affected many people, not only Christians, but non-believers. The world has mocked us and laughed at us, like this morning in the book of Ezekiel. They're saying, aha, aha, look at these people. And they are the church of Jesus Christ, and yet look at their lives. If we're not making it, folks, then man, what is the world saying about us? Man, how we need to make it straight. We'll set the record straight before God and say, for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. I don't know about you, but I know what I'm going to do. That's important. God's setting the temperature. God's setting the way to the truth of God. And then he continues, he says, so will I punish them for their ways. You see, God's judgment will be according to works. And they reward them in their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. God will take away what they have. And they shall commit harlotry, but not increase. And here's the sadness again. Because they have ceased obeying the word of the Lord. You see, they stop listening to God. And the day you stop listening to God, you are in deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. You got to mark that scripture and circle it. Because that's the key to the sin of the people. They stop obeying. They stop listening to God. Just like Samuel speaking to Saul. Listen to what it says in First. You don't have to turn to. Just mark the scripture down. In 1 Samuel 15:22, I want to read it to you. Where God rejects Saul, this is what he says to him. He says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You know, I mean, do you think that God is pleased because you go to church and you pay your tithe and you read the Bible and you pray? You're wrong. God would rather not have you given anything but obey. You see? That's the key. You can't please God just because you're reading your Bible, going to church, giving your tithe, and helping little old people across the street, and feeding the poor. And that doesn't mean you're right on. Listen to what he says. As in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of the rams, which was the best of the sacrifice. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being their king. You see, if you reject God, if you stop obeying, listening to the word of God, what happened to Saul? Then God rejected him. God will give you over to your own ways. Do as you please. Learn the hard way. God doesn't mess around. He's a God of love, man, but at the same time, he doesn't put up with sin. He judges sin. Remember that. You can't get away with sin. Your sin will find you out, the scripture says. And then verse 11, he says, harlotry, wine, and new wine. They were getting drunk. Notice that drunks, drinking was one of the problems at that time too. Drunken parties. Enslaved the heart. Notice that harlotry and wine and new wine enslaves the heart. How many people have become slaves to their wine? How many times you've heard people say, oh, you know, I can drink just one beer, one cup of wine. I don't need any more than that. And they're lying. Because once you build that craving, then you got to have one, and then you got to have two, and then you have to three, and then four, and five, and six, until finally you become an alcoholic. There's no possible way that when you get into a habit that you're just going to do it just a little bit. I used to watch my father drink, man. Not only he would drink beer, he'd drink hard stuff at the same time. You know, where they take the beer and drink it, and then they take the little cup and they suck up the whiskey same time. I mean, incredible. How can a person drink so much and expect to be healthy and expect to be alive and to be, you know, aware of everything? And then when sickness comes, don't blame God for your liver, you know, washing away. And when you're dying there because of the drinking or because of the smoking, now you got cancer. Don't blame God. Blame yourself. God warned you. He told you, you are the temple of the living God. And if any man defile the temple of God, God shall destroy him. You catch AIDS. Don't blame God. Blame yourself. God told you not to have sex. Pretty heavy. The word of God is clear. God is clear in what he says. He warns us. He gives us instruction to what he wants us to do. And what he wants me to do is to obey, not to disobey. And yet how many times, and I told you this before, you watch the commercials, you watch, you know, you go down to Hollywood, you can buy the magazines, you know, Rolling Stone magazine, whatever it is, and they have all this advertisement in these magazines, man, and it's all seductive. It's all to pollute the minds of the young people. There is no shame in that. And then the TV commercials, when they have all these young people, you know, and drinking and having a ball and a party, and yet they don't show you the after effects when they become 20, 30 years down the line, when some of those young people have died of alcoholism, and the liver has gone, and they have the red nose, and they have the patches on the face, and they have spots on their liver and on their skin. They don't tell you that. But they want you to look good, you see. It's something that you do. Don't believe the lie of the enemy, man. It's all the mighty dollar. They're lying to you. Because alcohol, God forbids, he says, God says that wine's a mockery, man. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. Now you see, I have the liberty to drink as much as I want, but I don't drink because I hate it. Plus I'm a priest. And you see, it's important that you know your limits and you know your liberties. Why? Because there are some people that think they can do something. And if you feel you have a freedom to drink or to smoke or to do whatever you want, you better make sure that when you do it on your own time and your own private, you know, little room, because if somebody watches you doing it and they don't have the same freedom that you have, Paul says you'll make them stumble. And if they stumble and they get pushed away from Christ because of your liberty, Christ will hold you responsible for their lives. So pretty heavy stuff. So I watch what I say and I watch what I do, because I don't want to become a stumbling block to anybody. We have to be careful of the things that we do and say, because we can really bring people into hell. It's better, the Bible says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit than to be drunk with wine. Because then you have a sound mind. You don't need it. I remember when I used to do it, man. You know, you drink it and you act crazy. And then you feel like you're in a ship and you're going up and down. And then you throw up. Isn't that fun? And you wake up in the morning and you're barf. And then you wash off and you smell like rotten. And then, you know, you can't even walk. You have a headache. And you have to drink some more or get some coffee. I mean, how stupid. I mean, they call that fun? I like getting up in the morning now without a headache. And without the barfy waffies, man. It's better than ever, man. And I tell you what, and you watch your body. You don't pollute your body. You don't get messed up, you know, by doing all those things that the world is doing. And they call it fun. Well, they're going to hell. Verse 12. And then again, my people, notice again, God, my people ask counsel from their wooden idols. Hey, what happened to the counsel of God? They were no longer going to God for counsel. They were idolaters. They were going to these stupid idols of wood and rock and metal. And they were praying to, like the psalmist says, they're praying to these gods that have ears that cannot hear. They have hands that cannot move. They have feet that cannot even walk. They're made of wood and stone. And they can't listen and they can't do anything for them. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, you know, through actually witchcraft. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. Notice that seducing spirits had led them away from God. And they offer sacrifices of the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills and under the oak poplars and under the terebinths. And because their shade is good, therefore your daughters commit harlotry and your brides commit adultery. You see, like people, like priests, you see, whatever the leaders were doing, the people were doing even worse. They had no leadership. They had no leading in government. And so the people were going crazy, doing whatever they wanted to do, when God had given them his law. This is what you're to do, and this is what you're not to do. You want to be blessed? Deuteronomy 28 through 30, then do this. You want to get cursed? Then do this. You see, he gave you the right and the wrong. Verse 14, I will punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots. Notice that. And offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. And therefore people who do not understand will be trampled. And in the ritual, when he talks about the harlot and the men going with the harlot, part of the ritual that they had in sacrifices was actually sexual acts. They would go in and they would prostitute with these women, their bodies. And they would have these sex with them. And this is what they call worship in those days to the goddess of fertility. Hased. And though you Israel play the whore, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Aven, which actually means the house of idols in Hebrew. For Israel is stubborn. Here is their problem. Notice this. Notice God now here speaking about their spiritual jargon. In verse 15, he said there at the bottom, he says, nor swear of an oath saying, as the Lord liveth. How many times you've heard people with spiritual jargon say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and yet their lives stink? I watch people. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the talk. You know, they carry Bibles and they got stickers on their cars, you know. But at the same time, what God is looking at for a sticker, he's looking for your life to shine. He doesn't want you to have any spiritual jargon and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and go through all the vocabulary of the Christian walk. He wants you to stand forward in obedience and do what God says, and then that's what counts. And so God was sick of their spiritual jargon here. And then God says, for Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. And check this out here. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Notice the sad words here. How sad and how tragic it is. When he uses the word Ephraim here, it's in reference to the northern kingdom of Israel. What is God saying? It's too late. Don't pray for them anymore. I've given them up. Heavy. That's it. God is turning his back on them. God now is going to let Assyria come down and wipe them out because they would not listen. There is a place, there is a line, no one knows but God, where you can cross that line and not even God himself can help you. Not even God himself can help you. Be glad as long as the Holy Spirit is convicting you and speaking to you, man. Draw close to the cross of Jesus Christ. Be glad. The problem comes is when you don't hear the voice of God anymore. And you don't hear the conviction of God anymore. When you do something and there's no longer a conviction, and there's no longer that place where you turn to repent, but you enjoy what you're doing, then you're getting hardened hard, and you're coming close to that line where at the place you may cross that line, not even God himself will take you back, which we call the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I've never met anybody but maybe one person that had committed that sin. And I don't think anybody here is here tonight that has committed the unpardonable sin, because if you did, you wouldn't be here tonight. You see? You wouldn't be here tonight. So thank God for that. But God help us like Ephraim, like the northern kingdom of Israel, where God says, leave them alone. God now rejects them because they crossed the line of grace as God has been speaking to them. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rules dearly love dishonor, and the wind was wrapped up in her in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus, to thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercies that you bring to us so richly, so freely, God.